From Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The reason the Bible Answer Man is on the air is to defend the Christian faith, proclaim the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to teach discipleship to his followers, because life and truth matter. For more information or to order equipping resources, call 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274, or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
And welcome to a special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We do what we do at the Christian Research Institute through the Bible Answer Man broadcast and our outreaches around the world because life and truth matter. On today's edition of the broadcast, I want to focus on the matter of life, living life here and now with eternity in mind. In order to focus our attention, I've invited Father Themi, an Orthodox priest born in Egypt, grew up in Australia, but was looking for fulfillment in all the wrong places. At one point, he was a neo-Marxist. At another stage, a rock star. On another level, an academic, a doctorate from Brown, a master's from Princeton. But then he had a radical encounter with God. He had a Damascus Road experience. And as a result of that, he has given up everything to serve the poor. Today, over 20,000 people die of hunger each and every day. Half the world's population lives on under $2 a day. And so this is an issue that we need to be conversant with because we are called to give the cup of cold water, the piece of bread in the name of Jesus Christ so that we can bring the life of Jesus Christ to the poor and the downtrodden. Father Themi has moved to Sierra Leone, one of the poorest places on earth, and there he is making a difference for time and for eternity. I am delighted, Father Themi, to have you on the broadcast today.
Well, I'm absolutely honored to be here and to be with you. I heard so much about you, and it's an absolute honor to be with you. Thank you for your very kind invitation.
Again, I'm delighted to have you on the broadcast. Talk a little bit about your background. You were born in Northern Africa in Egypt, and born into a Greek Orthodox family.
Well, nominally, I was Orthodox Christian, baptized in Alexandria, which is one of the historical, those who know church history would understand what I mean when I say that it is one of the great early Christian centers. But it meant nothing to me. I was not a believer. And most of my infancy and early childhood and moving on to my teenage years, having moved over to Australia, a secular society, I had no faith at all. I did not believe in God. In fact, during my university days, I was a convinced neo-Marxist, as opposed to classical Marxism, neo-Marxism. Neo-Marxism being the assimilation and the fusion between classical Marxism and Freudianism and Marcusianism and all kinds of isms, to make classical Marxism more applicable to today's historical events, such as the Chinese Revolution, the Russian Revolution, and so forth. So I believed in that in my university student days, and we looked upon Marxism as the solution to the great injustices that were going on at the time, the issue of poverty, the issue of the Vietnam War, the issue of women's rights, the issue of even the environment, that all these issues were there. And it seemed to me that Marxism had the answer. And God for a Marxist, is the antithesis of progress. The whole concept of a supernatural world, the whole concept of a metaphysical world, is very much opposed to the strict letter of law of Marxism. It is the opiate of the people. Christianity, according to Marx, is the means by which the capitalist class will, as it were, employ to subdue the working class and to let them believe in some mythical concept that after death they will achieve eternal life. And that, therefore, becomes the tool of the capitalist to oppress the worker with the consolation that, well, you are going to go to the afterlife, well, I will not, but in the meantime, I'm going to enjoy myself here and you will have to suffer. So that's basically, in a nutshell, Marxism. And so we were all caught up in it until something happened. What happened was that we were following our gurus of the period, the avatars, were the Beatles, particularly John Lennon, who we saw as being the intellectual Beatle, George Harrison, the spiritual Beatle, and Bob Dylan, of course, and some of the other spokesmen of the period. And they were the acceptable voice of the youth of the 60s and 70s, the early 70s. One day the Beatles said that we're going to India to seek metaphysical enlightenment. And we all thought, wait a minute, they're betraying the revolution. They're going counter to everything that, you know, dialectical materialism, the idea that the revolution will only occur through the struggle of the proletariat, the working class, against the bourgeoisie and the capitalist class. What's this about going to India to seek enlightenment? We don't understand that. I mean, that was just, as you Americans would say, left field. Is that term you use?
Absolutely.
Yes, it was absolutely left field. And so we were amazed by that, but because it was John Lennon who said it, right? And because it was George Harrison who said it, well, maybe we need to look into this, right? And so begins a kind of a revision of Marxism among the student population now. And a possibility, a very important possibility, that maybe the answer is not just dialectical materialism, historical materialism, but it could be that there is something supernatural going on. Now, that was an amazing admission to make, because we were very logical, very empirical, very rational. We were the product of 500 years of the age of reason, the age of enlightenment. We had thought, we had gone beyond the age of God. We had gone way past Christianity, which we saw, according to Nietzsche, right, I'm sure you've read him, the Uberman, the Superman, the man, the self-fulfilled man, does not rely on any other external being, but relies on himself and his own will to achieve that which is his to achieve. We believed all that. We read all that. But now we're told by Mr. Lennon and Mr. Harrison that perhaps we should seek beyond materialism into the world of the metaphysics. My goodness, that contradicted Bertrand Russell. That was an extraordinary contradiction. But it was John Lennon, and so we needed to investigate further. So that's what I did. I went into ashrams, I went into Hare Krishna temples, I went into guru-led classes. We even had American, Richard Alpert came from the United States, who called himself Dumb Russ or something like that. A great man, a great man. And we listened to all this, and it came, we came to the conclusion, some of us, that Marxism wasn't enough, that there was something beyond the material, and there was something transcendent from pure material history and the economic factor of history, which is pure Marxism. And to make a long story short, once I went into one of the ashrams, this is in Melbourne, Australia, and the guru, who claimed to represent no less than a 14-year-old child who is God, that 14-year-old Indian child, young man, was claimed to be God. So we were curious to find out more about it. So I went in there, and the guru come around and tap us on the forehead, receiving knowledge, receive knowledge, receive wisdom, receive. And he came to me, and at the time, we were all squatting in the traditional lotus position, et cetera, et cetera. And I think I was wearing my Che Guevara hat and my and my Led Zeppelin cross or something. And he asked me, oh, Black Sabbath, sorry, they used to wear crosses. So I wore a cross, because Black Sabbath wore a cross. So he asked me to remove the cross. And I thought, what? He said, you have to remove the cross. And I said, to myself, I was not a Christian, right? But I thought, how curious that this wise man, how curious that this devotee of the avatar would be confounded by a fashion statement. That's all it was for me, just a fashion statement, you know. And he said, well, you must remove it. I said, you know what, I'm not going to remove it. I actually contradicted and stood up and said, I'm not going to remove it, not because of anything of a faith which I did not have, but because something inside of me told me, this cross is disturbing him. This cross has something that is to be investigated. So I left. I did not go on with the meditation and with the road to wisdom according to their principles, you see. And having left, I then began to ponder on this issue of Christianity. And I think God was gracious enough to, what I'm about to tell you now may sound strange and inconceivable and even illogical, which it is, in many ways it is. But I needed that. I needed the illogicability of the metaphysical. I needed the inconceivable of the metaphysical. I needed that contradiction of the material life and the material reality for me to be able to release myself and to be able to accept the existence of God. So the Lord was merciful to me, and he gave me what could be described, in, at least from my tradition, the Orthodox Church tradition and the monastic tradition, as a mystical experience. Now, I'm the last man in the world that should be getting mystical experiences, you know, trained at university, steeped in the empirical world, steeped in the world of reason, steeped in Greek philosophy, Aristotle, steeped in everything that contradicts the metaphysical, right? That, from childhood. And yet there it was. It was inexplicable. It was confrontational. It was radical. It was compelling. It was non-negotiable. And I accepted it as my Damascus Road experience. And that was it. I accepted Christ, and nobody led me to Christ. There was no evangelical preacher who came to me. There was no priest who came to me. There was no, I don't know, there was nobody who came with a Bible and said, you must accept Jesus. This came on its own without my wanting it to occur, and it happened. And from that, there was a series of mystical experiences, I believed in Jesus. I believed in the existence of God. There was no doubting it anymore. I saw it. I saw it. And unfortunately, in my case, it's because of my lack of faith that it had to happen that way. It doesn't have to happen that way. It can happen in many ways, you know. But because of my being immersed in the world of reason, in the world of logic, in the world of rationality, there was no other way to jolt me out. God knows. God knows. And that was the only way that I would have walked into the life of Christ. There was no other way. And in his wisdom, that's how he chose to bring me. And that's it. I haven't looked back ever since. That happened when I was 22, 23. And it saved me from so much blindness and walking in the wrong way and sin and temptation, you name it.
Talking to Dr. Father Themi, he's a friend and an inspiration. He was at one time involved with a rock band, wildly popular, but he's given all of that up to devote his life not to a theory of Christianity, but an actual practice of Christianity. When we get back from the break, we'll be talking about how the theoretical needs to become the practical. Christianity is not just a head fake. It's not just an intellectual assertion. It is a life that can transform the lives of other people. Back in just a moment with more.
Everything, well, almost everything you know about Islam and the Crusades is wrong, because most textbooks and popular history books are written by left-wing academics and Islamic apologists who justify their contemporary political agendas with contrived historical facts. Learn the truth in Robert Spencer's Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam and the Crusades and The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran. To receive your copy of either book as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back right after this. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many. The gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. Bet your teachers never told you. Muhammad did not teach peace and tolerance, but led armies and ordered the assassination of his enemies. The Crusades were not acts of unprovoked aggression by Europe against the Islamic world, but a delayed response to centuries of Muslim aggression. And what is known today as the Islamic world was created by a series of brutal conquests of non-Muslim lands. That's why the Christian Research Institute has added to its apologist arsenal two timely and thoroughly researched books on Islam by Robert Spencer. To receive your copy of The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran or The Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam and the Crusades as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org, equip.org. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Islamic jihadists boldly attack innocent people on the street. This is just one sign of the eroding Judeo-Christian worldview and values that once dominated the West. We are in a fight for our lives, not against flesh and blood, but spiritual warfare. For this reason, CRI is boosting our apologist arsenal with two new resources, the Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam and the Crusades, and the Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran by Robert Spencer. To receive either one of these books as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. Equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Do remember, available for your support all this month, the Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran by Robert Spencer, as well as the Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam and the Crusades, both books available for your support this month. Check it out on the web at equip.org or write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, our resource consultant standing by, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. I continue my conversation with Father Themi, and he is someone, as I said just before the break, who is not only talking theology, but he's taken his faith and put it into practice. He was once a rock star, but now he's in Sierra Leone. And this is what I'm really interested in. I'm really interested, Father Themi, in a communication from you as to why Christians are losing the culture wars. We have a said faith, oftentimes not a real faith, or we give intellectual assent to logical truth propositions, but we're not living out the faith. And the reality is Christ has not only saved us by his death, he has saved us into his life so that we can give life to others.
I guess, Hank, I can only speak for myself. Unfortunately, but that's the reality. Having gone through all these other phases in the world, even as you mentioned before, rock star, you know, we played on the same stage as the Rolling Stones when they came to Australia. I went to a party with Mick Jagger. We did all the things that rock stars, I'm ashamed to say, do. So in a way, I understand the secular world. I understand what is attractive to a young person of the secular world. But I want to tell your young listeners, those who are aspiring to become rock stars, those who are aspiring for fame, those who are aspiring for whatever it is that the latest fashion is, my friends, it's empty. Beyond the glamour, beyond the glory, you know, and beyond the fans that scream at you one day and the next day you're forgotten. The very people who turned up and screamed their heads off and were going absolutely crazy over you one day, and we couldn't reach even the stage door before we were mobbed, and just to get to the cars to get away was just an ordeal. You know, I would lose half my hair just being torn apart by fans, you see, and then having fans outside your door camped all day just to get a glimpse of you. These things people dream of. I tell you now, I've been through that. It's empty. Because after your expiry date, right, there's a kind of an expiry date to fame. There's an expiry date to rock stardom. There's an except the Rolling Stones for some reason. It's incomprehensible. Though I think the time has almost come. I'm not sure, but I'm not quite sure there. But there is an expiry date. I mean, I can mention rock groups that were huge. The Who, the Yardbirds, just so many groups that have come and gone, the Young Rascals, the Chicago, so many groups that have come and gone. Nobody's ever heard of them anymore, right? What happened to the fame? It's gone. It's all gone, right? So it is all ephemeral. It doesn't last. This fame business, this success business in the world doesn't last forever, even if you're the greatest baseball player or the greatest football player. Though, by the way, I can't really call American football football, but that's another story. Nevertheless, even there, I think your expiry date is obvious. It's obvious. What I've discovered in Christianity is that that is not applicable anymore. There is no expiry date. You don't expire after a certain period. If anything, you go from glory to glory to glory until eventually you reach the kingdom of heaven. So it's amazing, an amazing contradiction to all the propaganda that we have heard in the secular world. Oh, in order to make it, you've got to have a lot of money. In order to make it, you've got to get famous and this and that. My friends, you know, those of us who have been through fame and stardom and so forth, behind the scenes, you're still the same human being. Behind the scenes is still you. Behind the scenes, before you go on stage, you're going to face 100,000 people. It's still you. You haven't changed. It's still you. So you being alone, where are you at the moment of death? You see, you're still the same person. That's the comfort of Christianity. That's the strength of Christianity that we have. We are not restricted. We are not restricted by time or period or phases, that we keep going as long as we are faithful to the Lord. Your question, Hank, was why is it, I guess you're asking, forgive me if I've got the wrong question, why is it that more people are attracted to the secular world than Christianity? Is that what your question was?
Essentially, what I want to talk about is your call from, not only your call to salvation, but your call from salvation to service.
Well, having been an academic, therefore, after conversion, naturally, there is a period of reorientation where you find yourself, who am I? I'm a Christian. Okay, what do I give up now? The Bible says, he who wishes to be perfect, come, sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and come and follow me, and I will show you the kingdom of heaven. That's very difficult to do. It's very difficult to do. I tried it. I sold my car. I sold my things and sort of gave it to the poor kind of thing. And now what? Where do you go from here? You know, you allow the grace of God to come and work into your life. And there was a period of some difficulty in the beginning because I was discovering what Christianity meant. I was discovering for the first time the grace of God. I was discovering for the first time the forgiveness of God, the new avenues, the new horizons that God was giving. But I was still the old man. I was still the old person, the old rock star, the old Marxist with the baggages, you see. All that had to be knocked out. All that had to be cleansed clean, you see. And that took time because, yes, we talk about conversion, but let us not imagine that, you know, one day you become a brand new person. There's still a lot of the old luggage, a lot of the old baggage, a lot of the old, you know, things that you are carrying from the old life. And these things have to be removed slowly and gradually. And I guess my initial years were the removal of the old baggages until, you know, there is a period of catharsis. It's like a purgatory, going through purgatory. And eventually, I started teaching schools, but because of my need for repentance and for my past sins, I began to, you know, everywhere I was, I would talk about Jesus. If I was in the classroom, I would tell kids about Jesus. If I went on a bus, I would tell the conductor about Jesus. If I was sitting on a chair in the bus, I'd tell my next door neighbor about Jesus, you see. And fine, that was great. But then I thought, you know, I need to systematize this. I need to make it more systematic, more effective, right? And the way I did it was I went back to academia. I went back to theology. I started theology in Australia, here in America. The Lord led me to Princeton, Harvard, Brown, some of the greatest schools that you have in this country. And I'm very honored to have gone through these schools. I've learned a lot. And so I went back and became an academic in my tradition in Australia. But the call to serve the poor was irresistible. Here I was. I think one of the dramatic moments was this. I had prepared a lecture from one of the universities in Sydney. And the lecture was, are you ready, Hank? The trimorphic protania of the Nag Hammadi Library, or corpus, and the Johannine Prologue. Now, if you understand what I'm saying, you've got problems.
Unfortunately, I have problems.
You do understand? Oh, my goodness. So, well, you do understand. So, here I am, 3 months working on this Coptic text, trying to see whether it was John's gospel that was impacted by it, or was it the Coptic gospel that was impacting on John, and blah, blah, blah. And I was very happy with my work, and I went to deliver the lecture, and I was convinced that I was defending the priority of John's gospel as opposed to this Nag Hammadi Coptic Gnostic text. And there were 4 people in the lecture. You know, 3 months work, whatever, published article, and there was like 3 or 4 people. I don't want to lie to you. Let's say a minimal, right? And I'm thinking, is this what the Lord, you know, is this how I'm supposed to spend the rest of my life, you know, researching obscure Coptic texts and Syriac texts and so forth? Or is this something else the Lord wanted? And when I saw the work of Mother Teresa, when I heard of the great work that Mother Teresa was doing, and the impact that this 80-year-old elderly senior woman was having on the lives of people around the world, particularly in India, Calcutta, of course, but also around the world. She would have an enormous impact on people, young and old. And I thought, surely this is the model that you should be following, rather than the more pedantic, though necessary, but pedantic, academic way to the kingdom of heaven. And in particular, trying to teach Hebrew to stubborn Greek Orthodox seminarians didn't help either. So I decided to give up academia, as it were, and to follow the road to the crucified Christ, the road to the poor, the road to serving among the poor, the poorest in the world, not in Australia, but the poorest in the world. And I thought, where are the poorest in the world? And automatically, of course, Africa came to mind. And because I was born in Africa, I was born in Alexandria, as I mentioned before, North Africa, I thought, this is what I should do. And I had to, of course, get permission from my bishops, my archbishops. And I think my archbishop was very happy to get rid of me, so he gave me his blessings. No, I'm just joking. He was very kind and very, very understanding, and he gave me his blessings to move on. In fact, I remember his words, "You had the blessings of Abraham." And that was it. I moved to Alexandria, and from Alexandria to Kenya. And in Kenya, I learned about world poverty. I learned about the poor of this world.
And when we come back from the break, we're going to be talking about that very thing. Talking to Father Themi, in many ways, not his words, but my own. I think he is the Mother Teresa of Orthodoxy. He has a ministry in Sierra Leone, Paradise for Kids. It is making a difference. I mean, it's a ministry to the downtrodden, those who desperately need the love of Christ, first the piece of bread, then the gospel, then the transformed life. Those kids being equipped to be reproducing disciple makers. Talk about all that and more when we come back from the break in just a few moments. So please don't touch that dial.
President Obama quoted from the Quran, "Whoever kills an innocent, it is as if he has killed all mankind, and whoever saves a person, it is as if he has saved all mankind." Now, that sounds compassionate and peaceful, but Obama simply ignored the very next verse, which mandates punishment for anyone whom Muslims do not regard as innocent. Find out how Islam and the Quran are being whitewashed by political leaders and pundits in Robert Spencer's The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran, or The Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam and the Crusades. Receive either book as our thanks for your gift simply by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff.
Music.
The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the Revised and Updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Abroad and at home, Islamic jihadists boldly assault innocent people on the streets, as we saw in Paris and San Bernardino. Capitals around the world brace themselves for increasing attacks by suicidal terrorists willing to blow up themselves and others in the name of Allah, while even many Christians embrace the politically correct folly that Islam is a religion of peace. As a way of addressing this spiritual warfare against the kingdom of Christ, CRI is boosting our apologist arsenal with two new resources by Robert Spencer, The Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam and the Crusades, as well as The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran. To receive either of Spencer's books as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org, equip.org. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. Because the challenges of a rapidly spreading radical Islam will confront us for years to come, remaining ignorant about Islam cannot be an option for thinking Christians. That's why CRI has added to its apologist arsenal two timely and provocative books on Islam by Robert Spencer. To receive your copy of The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran or The Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam and the Crusades as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. In the studio with Dr. Father Femi, he is an Orthodox priest who has given his life to reaching out to the poor in a tangible way. And I think this is an example for all of us. It's not our bank account in this world that ultimately matters. It is doing precisely what Jesus Christ said, to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not corrupt and where thieves do not break in and steal, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I'm thinking right now about the words of Paul in Corinthians, Father Themi, when he says there's no foundation that you can build other than Jesus Christ, but on that foundation you can build. You can either build using gold, silver, and costly stones, or wood, hay, and straw. And the day of the Lord is going to reveal the kind of material we were building with. And if what we have built survived, we're going to receive a reward. If it does not, we are going to suffer loss. Paul kind of gives us an image of people escaping burning buildings with little more than charred clothes upon their backs. So the here and now is critical. People often talk about salvation, very seldom talk about the fact that there are degrees of reward in heaven. What we do now matters for all eternity. I want you to talk in this regard about what you have done. First of all, the culture shock. You're in America, sitting in a prosperous city. The culture shock between where you are right now and when you go back to Sierra Leone, it is a different world, even though you can transfer from one culture to another very quickly with an airplane. It's a completely different world. But there's a world there of hurting people that need to be reached, not only with the gospel, but with material means as well.
Yeah. You've hit it on the head. We are living in two planets. We call it Earth, but I call it two-dimensional planet. There is the abundance and the apparent wealth of nations such as yours, the United States, Canada, Europe to some degree, of course, and Australia and so forth. These are the rich countries. These are the countries of abundance, of wealth. There is another world that is hidden, and it seems to be neglected by our consciousness. It's as if we don't want to know about it. We only get to know about it in certain times that we allow ourselves to get involved, e.g. when there is an Ebola crisis. Okay, suddenly we become aware of Africa. But even then, only when it strikes us. When Ebola hit us in Sierra Leone last year, it was terrible. People were dying everywhere. Okay, even where we were, people were just dying in the streets. People, bodies in the streets. Near us, there were just pandemonium. Okay. Nobody lifted a finger in the international world. For months, we were suffering there. Months. Until a gentleman from Liberia came to the United States, gave Ebola to a nurse in Texas. Suddenly, Ebola exists in the consciousness of the Western world. But until Ebola hit a white person, there was no Ebola. And all the thousands of people that were dying in Africa, and I saw it myself, I'm a witness to that, nothing was done. Even the World Health Organization said in the beginning, oh, this is not a big deal, let us not worry about it. It was shameful and disgusting that such a statement could be made, and it was made. So the rest of the world was completely immune to any cries. I repeat, it was only when Ebola hit Europe and the United States that suddenly the armies came and the doctors came and the convoys came and blah, blah, blah came. But until then, nobody came. So that's an example of the hidden world, the world of suffering that we either consciously or subconsciously want to do away with from our consciousness, you see. That's the world I live in. And I call that the crucified Christ, you see. Where the average, I'm now speaking to the women in your audience, if I may. The average daily monetary allowance for the African woman, by and large, in sub-Saharan Africa, by and large, is about $2 a day. $2 a day. I want your women listeners, mothers, to tell me what can they do with $2 a day. Now, I'm telling you, 60% of the world's population, Hank, 60%, 6 people out of 10, are living under $2 a day. 60%. We are a small minority on this planet. We're a small minority. Because even when I go up to 80%, it's still under $3 a day. So if we are looking at the reality that is facing us, out of 7 or 8 billion people that live upon the earth, half of us are living under $2 or $3 a day. The other half of us are enjoying the abundances and the and the luxuries that exist in the rich world, and we are not even aware that we have them. And we're not even aware because of all the depressions and the so-called anxieties and all these things, and we are not aware of how much we have in around us, you know. And because we're not aware of it, we don't appreciate it. But if you get an African immigrant coming to the United States, they will appreciate everything. They will see everything. They will see the electric light bulb that works. They will see the toilet that works. They will see the water tap that runs water. They will see a button on the door there that switches on and off the light. They will see a beautiful table. They will see it. But an American coming or a Westerner coming into your office, Hank, will just take all this for granted. That's the difference. That's one of the great differences. Now, how many children are dying a day? Let's get down to that. 22,000 children die every day in Africa, mostly in Africa. 22,000 children die every day. That's unacceptable. To my reality, that's unacceptable. So I'm there, firstly, to repent for all my sins as a rock star, as a Marxist. I'm repenting, and I'm living with them and understanding them. We have beggars everywhere coming to us every day, and you have to help. So what we do, Hank, is this. First of all, we identify with them. We don't try to lord it over them. The worst attitude is, I am the white man who has come here to help you. You poor unfortunates. You, the poor of the world. That would be so anti-gospel, and yet it exists. You know, fly-by-night missionaries who come. I am the great missionary who come 2 or 3 days in Africa and then go away. I'm afraid that's not the right attitude. You have to be, you identify in solidarity with the beggar. You do not talk down to him. You do not abuse him. You do not lose patience with him. You talk to him on an equal basis with the beggar, with the beggars of the bottom of the barrel of this world. And once you do that, something extraordinary happens, Hank. You begin to see the crucified Christ. You begin to see in the desperation, in the cry. Where are you sleeping tonight? I have nowhere to sleep, Father. Have you ate today? No, Father. Where are you sleeping? I'm sleeping out on the porch, Father. Father, do me a favor. When I die, will you bury me? Nobody will bury him. Now, if you understand that, then you understand the crucified Christ, the voice of the crucified Christ, the pathos of the pain of the destitute of the world. Where else can I be but with them? That is our mission.
And the mission's called Paradise for Kids.
Well, Paradise for Kids is our sponsor. The mission is the Orthodox Church. It's the Orthodox Patriarchate of Alexandria, and we are a branch of that. We are a jurisdiction of the Orthodox Patriarchate, the Greek Orthodox Patriarchate of Alexandria. That's where we are.
You're getting your hands dirty. Talk to people. We only have a few minutes left about getting their hands dirty.
Well, no, but I am not requesting people to come to Africa. That's not what I'm doing here. I am saying this. Be aware of what you have. Be aware of the riches that are around you, the material riches. Be aware of the comfort. No matter how little you have far more. Just the hospitals you go to, when I get sick, I have to fly out of there to come all the way to New York just to be seen. You know, I have some poor eye, I have to have eye surgery. I have to come all the way to New York in order just to get something simple like a cataract thing, you see. So be aware of your medical services here. Be grateful to God for all the things you have. At the same time, you have an obligation to the poor. I mean, the poor here, the poor in this country, the poor here, the destitute here. You have an obligation as a Christian. It's not negotiable. I was hungry and you fed me, Matthew 25. I was naked and you clothed me. I was thirsty and you gave me to drink. And you will hear the words, come ye who fed me, you who gave me to drink. Come and enjoy the riches of the kingdom of heaven. May we become aware of that, brothers and sisters. And Hank, thank you for the invitation. God bless you and your ministry.
God bless you, Father Themi. And if you do this for the least of one of these, you have done it unto me.
Absolutely.
We are absolutely delighted to have you in studio. You've inspired us all, and hopefully we'll have many other opportunities to do the same thing, to have these discussions, because what this is doing is waking people up to the realities of a world that is very close to us in reality, but a world we oftentimes do not see. The problem today is we live in an instant society. We're watching a television show, and we're seeing millions of people who are starving or migrating or hurting, and then there's a soap commercial, and we never get a chance to process it. It's time that we stop and do the very thing that you said.
At least we Christians.
Yes. Stop and do the very thing that you said. Realize the blessings that we have, and then recognize that we are not here to simply consume things upon ourselves, but we are here to make a difference while there's yet time. And we will stand before God and give an account for what we did while in the flesh. Remember, The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran, also The Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam and the Crusades by Robert Spencer, available for your support. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org, or when you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, our resource consultant standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. You've been listening to a special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, interviewing one of the great lights in our Christian community, who is not just talking the talk, but walking the walk, and as a result, an inspiration to all of us. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and to live Christianly. To make a gift that can transform lives, and as our thanks, receive Robert Spencer's The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran or The Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam and the Crusades, simply by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271, or just visit us online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Bet Your Teachers Never Told You. Muhammad did not teach peace and tolerance, but led armies and ordered the assassination of his enemies. The Crusades were not acts of unprovoked aggression by Europe against the Islamic world, but a delayed response to centuries of Muslim aggression. And what is known today as the Islamic world was created by a series of brutal conquests of non-Muslim lands. That's why the Christian Research Institute has added to its apologist arsenal two timely and thoroughly researched books on Islam by Robert Spencer. To receive your copy of The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran or The Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam and the Crusades as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches or visit equip.org. Equip.org.